want to welcome all of you this morning on this Rally Sunday, and if you're visiting with us, we bid you a warm welcome this morning to our worship service. I have a few announcements this morning. First of all, in the order of service, we're going to be having a disaster relief trip send-off for the group and the church who's going to North Carolina. We're going to be having a send-off for them following the offering. Also, there's a change in the number of the opening hymn. The opening hymn is number 207. Number 207 in the Brown Hymnal is the opening song. Announcements that I have this morning, praise team. Praise team is going to practice this Thursday at 6 p.m. And also, in your bulletins, you'll see an announcement about Bible study. Bible study will begin on September 23rd. We're going to be looking at a book by Max Lucado called Fearless. I looked it over. It looks good. Each chapter in this book talks about a particular fear. It's called Fearless. And there is a Bible reference for each of these fears. So if you want to purchase the book, just talk to me. And we're going to begin on September 23rd. And finally, since today is Rally Day, we want to celebrate by having a meal. And all of you are invited following the worship service for our fellowship meal. Following worship. Do we have any announcements this morning? Let's all stand for our call to worship. I'll begin. Before I do that, I want to also welcome our guest speaker today, Mike Gorman from Youth with a Mission. We welcome him this morning, and we look forward to hearing what the Lord lays on his heart for our message. Let's all stand for our call to worship this morning. Join me in the responsive call to worship. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Let's sing our opening hymn this morning, Stand Up for Jesus.
Thank you.
following the invocational prayer, there is a congregational commitment that's printed in your bulletin. And since it is Rally Sunday, I think it's good for us to be committed to the church. But before we say that, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be here this morning in your house of worship. We thank you for this privilege of being in fellowship with you in this time of worship and in fellowship with each other. We thank you for Rally Sunday, Lord, for the opportunity to invite others to come to church. We pray and trust, Lord, that everything that we do today, Lord, would be pleasing to you. We pray that you guide and direct every part of this worship service this morning through the songs, through the message of the word, and through our fellowship with each other. We thank you, Lord. We pray that everything that we do this morning, Lord, would be for your honor and glory and give Jesus Christ honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing for our congregational commitment. Let us read this together in unity as a sign of unity. We commit ourselves to follow Jesus Christ, through whom God has made friends with the world, and in whose name we share the work of reconciliation. We commit ourselves to the way of the cross, living a life of simplicity, self-denial, and prayer. We commit ourselves to love each other, serving the church, and sharing our time, talents, and possessions. We commit ourselves to care for the world, bringing good news to the poor, setting free the oppressed, and proclaiming Jesus as liberator and Lord. In this commitment, we find joy, peace, and new life. You may be seated. This time, we're going to have a song by the choir, I Shall Not Be Moved.
Planted by the
Join me this morning in the offertory statement that's printed in the bulletin. As we prepare for our offering, let us read the word from 1 Chronicles 29, 11 to 12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence, your gift of ministry, Lord. We pray that we as a church, Lord, would use these offerings, Lord, to build your kingdom in and around our community, in the world, and in our lives. Bless these gifts, Lord, that we lay on your altar, Lord, to build your kingdom, to bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time, the children are dismissed for a children's church, and we will now sing our offertory hymn, Count Your Blessings, number 296. The ushers can come forward as we take a morning offering. this time, we're going to have a send-off for those who are going on the disaster relief trip. So for those who are going on this trip, would you come forward, please? I will say that this church is really good over the years in responding to disaster relief ministries, and we're very pleased to have a group here who is going to North Carolina. What's the name of the town?
Lumberton,
North Carolina. They were kind of wondering if they're going to make it with the hurricane, but I think everything is working out okay, where they can go and minister to the disaster problem that they have down there. I want to begin by reading this charge to the workers who are going. God's call comes to each of us in a unique way. When we became disciples, we opened our lives to the constant pressure of God's will, leading us to varieties of ministries. The Apostle Paul said to the young Christians at Rome, "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." We have in our midst here these who have responded to a specific calling to do ministry through disaster relief. It is fitting that this church fellowship share in an act of consecration. Brothers and sisters, through God's love, you have felt called to engage in this special work. You have, in essence, said, "Here am I, send me." Is it your desire now to consecrate yourself for the task to which you have committed your life for this period of time? If so, say, "I do." Will you remain open to God's leading through Bible study, prayer, and regular worship? In charge of the congregation, brothers and sisters, you have heard the expression for these individuals in serving. In the name of Jesus Christ, it is done for the entire church and this fellowship. Our love and our continuing support will be needed as a congregation. If it is your desire to participate in the commitment of the service, I invite you to stand and join me in prayer. Brothers and sisters, you have committed yourselves to this task, and I've heard the affirmation of your church family. We are all responsible for remaining faithful to these affirmations. Let us pray. O God of us all, we pause to commission these who felt called to a term of disaster ministry in North Carolina. We remember Jesus, who listened to the young, who had compassion upon the sorrowful, who wept with the lonely and healed the sick, and took time to assist those in trouble and stirred people to good works. O God, make these brothers and sisters who are serving, and each one of us, like our Master Jesus, a servant to neighbors, a shepherd to the straying, a comforter to the sorrowful, and a supporting friend to the young, the old, the eager, the weak, and the helpless. Thus may we demonstrate your love in our serving, and may those we serve sense a purpose that makes life significant and recognize God, who is over and within all of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you as you go. God bless you as you go. God bless you as you go. God bless you as you go.
We've come to our time of sharing our prayers to the Lord.
And in your bulletin, you'll see an insert this morning that has names that we need to remember in prayer for people that are facing a number of health and trials that they face. A couple people that we need to add on the prayer list is Eleanor Brubaker. Eleanor Brubaker is in Good Samaritan Hospital in Lebanon with heart issues, so keep Eleanor in prayer. Also, Richard Dutch Daubert has some broken toes. I talked with him yesterday, and he said the worst part about this is that he's stuck in the house. So we need to remember him in prayer as well. And we also want to pray for the message this morning. So let's come to our God this morning in prayer. Lord, we give you praise, honor, and glory in this time of worship. And we thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we have through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. And we trust and believe, Lord, that this worship service this morning is pleasing to you. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of Youth with a Mission and for the ministry that they do with our young people. We thank you so much for Brother Mike Gorman this morning and his message. We pray your blessing upon the message this morning, that we all, Lord, would receive the message, Lord, that you have prepared for us. Use Mike, Lord, this morning in the message. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of the church, the prayers of the church, and we lift up, Lord, the many people this morning that are on our prayer concern list. We pray especially for Sister Eleanor Brubaker, who is in the hospital with heart concerns. We pray your healing and peace to be with Eleanor and the family as they go through this time. We also pray for Dutch, Lord, with his toes that are broken. We pray for your healing touch to be upon him, Lord, and for each of the names that are listed this morning. We lift each one to you in prayer for the trial that they face. Help them to know, Lord, that you are a refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we should not fear. We lift up this morning the people who are affected this morning by the hurricane. Pray especially for the work of ministry that's being done in the Bahamas. Pray for the people and the families, Lord, who have lost so much. Pray for the church as we reach out through Brethren Disaster Ministries to this work in the Bahamas, that you would use, Lord, those gifts to bring reconciliation and restoration. We thank you for this time of worship, Lord. We pray that you lead us now as we hear this morning's message. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This time I'll turn it over to Brother Mike this morning.
Good morning, everybody. First of all, I want to thank Marty and those of you who were in on the decision-making of that for inviting me to come back and be here at Myerstown Church of the Brethren. I was here, I don't know, a year and a half ago or something like that. It was 2 years ago, yeah. Time flies by, doesn't it? Sometimes I think it was 6 months ago, and it was actually a lot longer than that. My wife and I, Laura and I, have been in the area for about 8 years, although she grew up in Lancaster from the time she was in an early teenager. She lived in Lancaster for many years. But we've lived in the Lebanon area for the last 8+ years, and we work with a mission called Youth with a Mission. And just a few days ago, I crossed my 44th anniversary in Youth with a Mission. So I don't know if I qualify as a youth anymore, but we've worked with Youth with a Mission for many years. Some of you may be aware, last March, toward the end of March, we had a fire at our building down there on Birch Road over by the Juniper Village retirement community. Burned up the roof. Everybody got out safely. So all summer long, we've been processing that. We've been doing all the things necessary, trying to come to a decision about what we should do for the future going forward. Youth with a Mission, by the way, we are a missionary training and sending organization. That's what we do. We have training courses, and we send people out into the mission field. And we've recently come to a conclusion that we feel like the Lord wants us to rebuild. And this coming week, we're still working it out. We're meeting as a board tomorrow night, but this coming week we could start on some of the demolition and the reconstruction of our building over there on Birch Road. So I just wanted to give that update. There might be a few of you here who are aware of that situation. We also would welcome any kind of help as we get into the rebuilding project. We're going to probably need a lot of volunteer labor and expertise of people who have different skills. So if anybody would ever want to be involved in any way, help out, you could talk to Grace Ziegler or to Marty, and they could get you in touch with us. We would love that. This morning, a young man came along with us who's come for one of our training schools. We have a discipleship training school running right now. We're renting facilities temporarily. Since our building is out of action, and we have these courses going on. Joshua Kasky has come down from New York State to join us for the next 6 months, for a discipleship training school. He'll spend 12 weeks with us here in the city, and then he will go with a ministry team, much like your team that's going to North Carolina, and Joshua will go with that team into probably somewhere into Asia or the Middle East or North Africa to be engaged in gospel ministry over there. I asked Joshua to come and share a testimony for a couple minutes this morning, so please come.
Okay, so I'm Josh Kasky. My parents actually were raised in Lancaster County, and they moved up to New York in the Catskills. So my dad's a pastor up there in a small church. So how I got to YWAM is kind of a little interesting because it started with a trial, a past trial, and I kind of felt like I was lukewarm. And the trial kind of broke me down, and I actually was like, okay, I need to get right with God. And through the couple years of that, I've heard of YWAM before through different places, but I wasn't so much looking for a mission trip at that point. But I felt like God's calling me to India. So I was planning on going to a trip to India on a mission trip, and God closed that door. So I was kind of a little confused at why, where do you want me to go? So in December, I was praying for my next mission trip because I really love doing mission trips, and I knew God had more for me to do. And through that, I'm praying about this one mission trip that I was kind of leaning toward, which would have been to Uganda. And I remember praying to God saying, okay, God, I need a little guidance here because I thought you wanted me to go to India on that trip and you closed that door. So that same exact morning when I prayed that prayer, we had special singers come in. And I walk in and they have Holt International, which is a childship sponsorship program. And the top thing right there is Uganda. And I'm like, okay, God, I guess I'm going to Uganda. If that wasn't enough, he decided he's going to reaffirm it and have me pass out the little sponsorship programs And the top bulletin that I would have got was Uganda. So it's just amazing God's direction. So I went to Uganda, and while I'm over there, I was thinking of YWAM, but I wasn't making any decisions until I actually got back. And while I'm over there, two doors down from one of the churches we worked with is a YWAM preschool. And then later on that day, I'm passing by, and there's a huge university, huge building with a whole bunch of classrooms of a YWAM campus. So I'm like, okay, so YWAM is the choice that God's chosen for me. After I came back, I was searching. I wanted some questions answered about YWAM, what they believed. I'd rather talk to a person rather than over email or something to get answers, questions answered. So I went down and actually visited Lebanon because it's close by to family and everything. And just by coincidence, they deal with at-risk children. I love working with orphans, at-risk children. It's kind of the place that I feel like God's calling me. So while this was our first week at the discipleship school, one thing that I loved about it was the intercession prayer. We prayed together as a group, and you could just feel the Holy Spirit there. You could just feel the power in those prayers. The other thing that I kind of was learning was worship time. Worship is a heart thing. It is a lifestyle. And in my past, in many churches I've been to, we can sing the songs all the time, but do we really take it to heart? Do we really think about the old rugged cross at Calvary, what that truly means? And that really touched me because it's like some people may raise their hands when they sing. Some people may be quiet and maybe crying. It's about the heart. But worship is also not just it's not just on Sunday morning. Worship is when you leave this building. Worship is when you go out. You can worship God by your prayers. You can worship by serving. There are many ways to worship God. Even listening to the sermon and implementing that into your life is an act of worship. So there's a lot of things that the next few months I'm going to be learning and trying to implement in my life, and excited to see where we head from there.
Thanks, Josh. I appreciate that. Something kind of weird happened to me this week. I knew what I was going to be speaking on this morning. By the way, I'm looking around to see if there's a clock visible anywhere. No? Wow, that's dangerous, folks. I suggest that those of you that have power get a clock back there in the back where the preacher can see it. Anyway. What happened is every Friday at Youth with a Mission in Lebanon, we have a guest speaker come in, and he shares a message, and we have communion together. And so this Friday, the person who came in to be the guest speaker, Daniel Miller from Freedom in Christ Fellowship in Lebanon, he spoke on the exact verses and the exact topic that I was going to be speaking on this morning. So I just wanted Josh to know that. I didn't steal his message. But it was so odd. The entire Bible, and he spoke on the exact verses that I'm speaking on today. So I'm not sure what to make of that. Let's read a passage together, John chapter 1, verse 35 to 39. John chapter 1, verse 35 to 39. I don't know if that'll... All right, I'm reading in the New Living Translation, which I really like. It says, "The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, 'Look, there is the Lamb of God.' When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around at them and saw them following. 'What do you want?' he asked them. They replied, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come and see,' he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day." Yeah, you know, today is, I'm told today is Rally Sunday. Rally Sunday. And Marty, and I think Grace might have explained it a little bit too. They explained a little bit to me, you know, it's a Sunday where in the past, traditionally, you might bring someone with you to church. You'll have a celebration. I think you used to have a picnic at the Grove, or you might have a meal like today afterwards, you're having a meal. It's kind of a special day. And I guess the idea of it was to rally and bring people in and maybe build up the church and get more people connected and involved with what the Lord is doing in Myerstown Church of the Brethren. It was a day maybe where a rally Sunday where maybe we're a little more outgoing than normal, maybe a little more involved in saying, you know, and again, I know nothing. So if I'm speaking the wrong thing here, you guys will know it. You'll be able to discern that. But it's kind of like, you know, bringing maybe a little bit extra beyond what we would normally do, a little bit of a change maybe from our normal Sunday. And I'm sure for those of you that baked food today, it was changed from maybe the normal Sunday. The word rally, rally sort of implies an increase. You know, if you want to see a rally to something or a rally for something, it implies increase. I think this Sunday was intended to be where we have a change from our ordinary way that we do church. So change. What causes us to change? What causes me to change? Can a sermon cause change? I believe it can. I remember certain sermons in my life that really spoke to me. When Josh saw the advertising for Uganda, that really got his attention that day. That wasn't a sermon, but he felt like the Lord was speaking to him. I kind of feel like you guys have been Christians, most of you have been Christians for a long time in this group. You know the Bible pretty well. You've followed God. You have faith. You trust God. I don't know that there's anything I could say in my sermon that will change you. But I do believe that sermons change people, and I believe we should have sermons. I believe sermons sort of work over the long haul. They sort of help to keep us on track through the ups and downs of life. A lot of times when I leave church, I'll say, yeah, that was a good sermon. By the way, Laura and I go to Cornerstone Christian Fellowship in Lebanon. We're actually on the eldership team there. It's a Church of the Brethren congregation as well. But a lot of times I leave and I go, yeah, that was a good sermon, or no, I didn't like that sermon so well. I didn't agree with this. Generally, I don't remember what was preached 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago. If I'm really doing well, I'll be able to tell you what was preached last week, last Sunday. So what brings change in our life? What does change us? Let's go to the context of this passage we just read. This tells us about John the Baptist and his disciples seeing his cousin walking by and the things that followed off of that. But the previous day, before these verses, before verse 35, John is out there preaching and his disciples are with him, and he sees his cousin, Jesus, walking by. He comes down and he gets baptized, we find out, and when he is baptized, the Holy Spirit from heaven comes down upon Jesus. And John had been told in the Spirit that the person on whom he saw the Spirit coming down from heaven was the Messiah, was the chosen one of God. And so he saw his cousin walking by the day before this story, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Okay. Andrew and his friend, Andrew and another disciple, they were with John the Baptist. They were kind of John's disciples. They didn't know anything about Jesus, but they believed in John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a pretty incredible character. At one point, Jesus said, "There's not been anyone greater born among men than John the Baptist." He was like their guru. You know, if you like, we can say it this way, they went to his church because he was a really good preacher. People were going out into the wilderness to see John the Baptist. There was something really going on there. Something amazing was happening. And so this Andrew and this other disciple were with him. And then, so the following day, when Jesus comes down, Jesus walks by, and Andrew and the disciples see him, and they see their teacher, the guy they're following, the guy that they're really invested in. And in fact, everybody seems to be invested in him. They're going out and declaring their sins. They're confessing their dark secrets publicly at the preaching of this guy, John the Baptist. So there was something really going on there. And then John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," the second day. And that's where our story takes up. John was standing with his two disciples, verse 35, 36. He said, "And Jesus walked by. John looked at him and declared, 'Look, there is the Lamb of God.' When his two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus." So they left John. They left what, in other words, John was saying, "He must increase, I must decrease." John was saying, "I'm not fit to even unloose the strap of his sandals." John, the one they admired, was saying, "This is the guy over here." So Andrew and John started to follow him. They basically began stalking Jesus. They were following him. They said, "Who is this guy? Let's go where he goes. Let's follow him." And they were walking behind him. And of course, Jesus noticed. He noticed they were following. And in verse 38, Jesus looked around and saw them following, and he said, "What do you want?" And they replied, "Where are you staying?" You know, if you're following somebody, if you're stalking them, and suddenly they turn around and say, "What do you want?" I think they were like deer caught in the headlights, you know, Andrew and this other disciple. They didn't know what to say, and they just said, "Where are you staying?" And then we come to the crux of it, and this is really what I want to focus on this morning. Jesus said, what did Jesus say? Well, did he say, "Follow me"? He said, "Come and see. Come and see." I believe that's how we change. If we want to change. If I want to change. You know, do I want to change? In my relationship with God, in my relationship with people, in my involvement in the church, in my life in general, do I want to change? That's the first big question. See, I'm saying I don't necessarily feel a sermon alone will make someone make a change in their life. I have to ask myself, and this is serious, as I get older, I'm somewhat comfortable in where I'm at in life. Pretty comfortable. Maybe some of you feel pretty comfortable too. Do we want to change? Andrew and John were willing to make a change. They started to follow Jesus. They didn't know who he was. They didn't know what they were getting into. All they knew is that their guru, their teacher, was saying, "This is the guy, not me. He's the guy." They started following. He turned around, he said, "What do you want?" They said, where are you staying? And Jesus said, "Come and see." I believe that's what he says to all of us. Laura, if you were in the Sunday school class, Laura talked about knowing God and our relationship with God. We didn't really talk to each other a lot about what I was going to be saying or what she was going to be saying. But it lines up a lot, the two. Both of us were feeling the same thing. What did Jesus say to Andrew? See, those guys were already spiritual. They were involved in what was going on with John the Baptist. It was the biggest thing happening, biggest revival going on. But in the midst of that, they switched courses, and Jesus said, "Come. Come with me. Walk with me. See who I am. See what I can do." And the Bible says they went with him. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they stayed with him that whole night. They hung out with Jesus. They spent the rest of the day hanging out with Jesus. How do we change? How do we have a rally in our life? We need preaching. We need fellowship. We need church. We need all this good stuff. It's all good. But I believe the primary way that we're going to change is to come and see and to hang out with Jesus. To hang out with you, hanging out with Jesus. Me, hanging out with Jesus. And a big question is, do I want that? Honestly, do I want that? Do I need that? Is there anything in my life that, I think I need more of God in my life. I need less of me. If we look at this metaphorically, we can say, I'm happy being with John the Baptist. I don't want to leave John the Baptist and go with Jesus. We might feel that way, but then the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world walks by. And they were willing to make a change. You know that Jesus loves you. And he likes to be with you. Jesus loves you. And he likes to be with you. I watched a TV program last night about a father whose daughter was murdered. It was horrific. I couldn't imagine having my daughter murdered. But when he was talking about his daughter, you could see how much he loved his daughter. He was crying, and you could see how deeply he loved his daughter. When you love someone, you want to be with them. Our oldest daughter is planning to come home for Christmas this year and visit us from Canada, and we're already excited about it. Why? Because we're going to get to hang out with Lana and Caleb, our kids. Do you believe that Jesus wants to hang out with you? What did he say to Andrew and the other disciple? He said, come and see. They went to his house. They hung out with Jesus. They observed him. They listened to him. They got to know him. And you might say, well, I already know God. I already know Jesus. And I would say, yes, you do. You're right. Absolutely. But, you know, is there anything in our life that we need to change, or we need more of God? We feel we need more of God in our life. Or do we feel, no, I'm good. I'm good where I'm at. Honestly, that's a good question for us to ask ourselves. I believe Jesus says to us, Mike, that's me, Mike, come and see. I'm better than you think I am, Mike. I'm more than you think I am, Mike. My love and my power are more active than you think it is, Mike. Come and see. I mean, when John and those guys, Peter and James, when they left the boats and followed him, they kind of left what was known and they moved into unknown territory. It's like us getting ready to rebuild this building. In a lot of ways, I feel we're moving into unknown territory. It's pretty scary. But I believe Jesus is with us. So the question is, in your Christian life and practice, particularly in your relationship with Jesus, do you want or need to change anything? Let me say it again. Please listen to this question. In your Christian life and practice, particularly in your relationship with Jesus, do you want or need to change anything? Do you want to change anything? Do you need to change anything in relation to your faith, your Christian walk, and your relationship with Jesus? I just want us to be silent for a minute and think about that question. Just for 1 minute, we're going to think about that question. Is there anything that I want or need to change in my Christian walk? Okay, if you had a thought, or if the Lord impressed something on your mind, hold on to that. Hold on to that. Be serious about that. Think more about it. So, it's very hard for me to change. I'm just telling you that. I'm a stubborn old coot, and it's hard for me to make changes in my life. And I don't know how it is for you. I would imagine for some of you, you'd probably say, yeah, I can relate to that. It's hard to change. So I want to give you a couple of thoughts about how you might implement this and how you might change. I don't know if I'm hitting this message the way I felt it this week. I hope I am. Come and see. Is what Jesus says to you. Come with me. Come and see. Here's a couple of things that Paul said. I want us to read Jude chapter 20 and 21. I'm moving right toward the end of this message, too. I want you to know that. Always a good thing to tell people at some point in the message. Whether it's true or not, you should always say it, you know. Jude verse 20 and 21, and I'm reading out of the King James because I love it in the King James Bible. Paul says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." So how do we rally in our faith? How do we get beyond what we're used to? How do we bring change where we feel we should change? Here's three helpful thoughts that are from those verses I just read, Jude 20 and 21. The first one, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Think about it now. How can you, as an individual, and how can we build ourselves up in your most holy faith? What could you do to build up your faith, to build yourself up? Because that's what Paul said. We're also to build up other people around us, but I'm talking today about how you build yourself up. Because Paul said, building up yourselves. What do you need to do to build up yourselves? That's one. The second one, he said, praying in the Holy Ghost. Spending time with Jesus in the quiet. Laura talked about this in the Sunday school. Intentionally being with Jesus. Sometimes to just sit in a chair in a quiet place and sit there and close your eyes, maybe meditate on a Bible verse. I'm not going to tell you how you would do it. But you're sitting there and you're waiting on God and you're quiet. Or if you feel like singing a hymn, sing a hymn. That's not the point. The point is that you're intentionally trying to commune with God, to listen to God and speak to God. Maybe you'll start speaking and praying, or maybe you'll just wait and He will put an impression on your heart. Praying in the Holy Ghost is what I'm talking about. That's what it says here in Jude 20. It does say in Isaiah 40, 31, they that wait upon the Lord will do what? They'll renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. I can't tell you how much this can change us. More than a sermon, but I love sermons and we need sermons and we should have them. And sermons, the words of the sermons can change us, absolutely. But praying in the Holy Ghost, intentionally, not just falling asleep. I'm so relaxed, it's so quiet, I'm like, that's great, take a nap. But when you wake up, wait on God again. Be with God. God loves you. He wants to hang out with you. The third and last thing that Paul recommends in Jude 20 and 21 is keep yourselves in the love of God. I read a book recently where a man talked about this old woman. He was preaching somewhere, and an old woman came up to him after the sermon and said, "Pastor, I need to talk to you." She said, "I've never told anybody this in my lifetime." She said, "When I was a little girl, my daddy started to abuse me sexually." I'm sorry, I know there are kids here, but she said that. And she said, "And my whole life, I felt dirty. And it was horrible, and that lifestyle persisted for a long time, and I still feel dirty today." And so this pastor said to her, I'm not suggesting this is what everybody should do, but this is what he said to her. He said, for 1 month, I want you to sit down and pray to the Lord, and I want you to pray this way. When you breathe in, say, see if I can do this. I don't know if I can do it right now in front of you guys. I get nervous in front of people, so I'm... but basically what he was saying is, Abba, I believe in you. As you breathe in, Abba, I don't know how you can say it and breathe in, but it does work. Trust me, it works. Abba, it's not I believe in you. Abba, I belong to you. Abba, I belong to you. And he encouraged her to pray this out several times for a little period of time every day for a month. And later he did get a letter back from that woman, and she said, I've experienced freedom like I never knew in my life. I've been healed. And I know that God is my Father. He's my Abba. I know God now as Daddy. And she signed it. She signed the letter. This is a 77-year-old woman. She signed the letter, Daddy's a little girl. She signed it. She kept herself in the love of God. She daily reminded herself that she belongs to her Daddy in heaven. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You are beloved. At the beginning of verse 20 there in the King James, Paul says, but you, beloved, you're beloved. Guys, God's not waiting to put the hammer down on you. God loves you. And he's saying, build yourselves up. Do what you got to do to build yourselves up in your faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Don't let guilt, shame, worry, fear keep you from realizing I'm loved. I'm lovable. My Father loves me now and forevermore. He'll never stop. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We all need mercy. Oh, I need mercy. I blow it many, many times. If you hang around me, you'll see it sooner than later. You probably do too in various ways. But we look for the mercy and we keep ourselves in the love of God. So that's my message for today. Jesus says to us, come and see. He wants to hang out with you. He loves you. He cares about you. That is the place where we can experience any change in our life that we need. But the preaching, the fellowship, the church, and all the things we do as Christians also adds to that. It strengthens it. But it's when we go, when we leave John the Baptist and all the comfortableness of that and all the power of that, and when we follow Jesus, the new thing, and he says, come and see. Get in your prayer closet sometime. Just wait on the Lord and ask him to speak to you. I don't know what he wants to speak to you, but it will be life-changing. It will be exciting. It will be good. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation. I thank you for Marty and Rachel and their leadership here. I thank you for the elders, for all the leaders of the church. Lord, I thank you for their precious lives and your love for them. I thank you for their diversity, and in that diversity, there is strength. I thank you for the congregation. Bless this church, Lord. I thank you that a team is going to North Carolina to serve you. I pray more teams will go out in the future to serve you in different places. But most of all, Lord, I thank you that you look at us in the eyes and you say, what do you want? And Lord, we don't know what to say. Honestly, if you say to me, what do I want? I'm not too sure what to answer. I may say something like, where are you staying, Master? And then, Jesus, you say to every man, woman, boy, and girl, in this congregation, you say, come and see. So, Lord, let us come and see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mike, for that message this morning. Let us stand for our benediction, and I'll also have... Actually, we're going to sing a song, aren't we? Let's stand for our closing song.
You're invited to our fellowship meal following the worship service this morning. So I'm going to have a prayer for the meal as we dismiss. So let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time of worship. We worship you. We thank you for the message, the challenge that we have heard today to be in your presence, Lord God, and to seek, Lord, how we can grow in you. Bless our fellowship as As we leave here today to have our meal, we pray that you would bless the food that we're about to partake, for all the hands that have prepared it, for the sharing of food and the fellowship, Lord. We pray that you would just bless this time. And we pray, Lord, that you would go with us, Lord, until we meet again. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.